Today we're talking about baptism, Jesus' baptism, and I wanted to do sort of a teaching sermon today because I don't think we understand very well, or we don't talk very often about baptism, what it is, what we're doing with it, and what it means. The great reformer of the church, Martin Luther, when he was overcome with doubts, despair, and depression, which was more common than you might think, used to say to himself, "Remember, you are baptized." In the overwhelming floods of grief that can consume us, and in the fires of trial and temptation and trouble, Luther says, "Remember your baptism." If you've been baptized as an adult, you remember your baptism. If as an infant, you remember you are baptized. To remember your baptism meant a great deal to Luther and to those who say it, remember your baptism. I say it whenever I have the opportunity to do a baptism, and I've said it before from here. I've said it in Bible study, in as many places as I can. And in a baptism, I say, we who are baptized into the Christian faith are called to remember we are welcomed into the family of Jesus Christ every time we are a witness to a baptism. I'm going to hazard a guess, however, that in Martin Luther's time, people had a much better understanding of what baptism was and what it meant than we do today. Today, we're celebrating the baptism of Jesus Christ in the River Jordan. So I wanted to spend some time reflecting on the meaning of baptism and what's going on when we baptize somebody. So let me make a few qualifications first. I recognize and realize that there are many views of what baptism is and what it means. So I'm going to do my best to reflect the Reformation view of baptism combined with my personal view, which admittedly has some shades of Lutheranism, Quakerism, and even some Catholicism in it. But you won't be able to tell which is which because I can't either. I'm also not going to take a definitive stand on either adult believer baptism or infant baptism, although you may get a sense of why both might be valid in what I have to say today. And finally, I really want to recognize that our liturgy and our ritual around baptism is intended to make explicit things that are implicit in baptism. So our ritual and the way we do baptism, I think, is made clearer in how we do the practice of baptism, hopefully. So, to begin with, I will define baptism in this way. Baptism is an act of God which invites us, through the example of Jesus Christ, to align our expectations of our spiritual life with participation in Christ's earthly church and in the divine mystery of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. By water and word, baptism welcomes us into and makes us responsible to the family of Jesus Christ. Notice how I began my definition. Baptism is an act of God. This is important. Baptism is by God's initiative first. God does something first. Baptism is not by our initiative, and therefore not even necessarily by our belief, though that's open for discussion. The actions of God are where baptism starts, is what I'm trying to say. Our actions in response to our baptism make us responsible to our baptism. So when we remember our baptism, we remember first what God has done for us, which is to love us and bring us into the loving embrace of our adoption by God. Isaiah puts it this way, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather my son. I will gather you Bring my sons from far away, and bring my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God reaches out to us. We respond in the way of Christ's example by having water poured upon us, combined with the words of God. We participate in the life of God by participating with those who have also followed in the example of Jesus Christ. So first and foremost, I want us to understand that baptism is an act of God towards us before anything else. Any expression of faith is secondary to God's primary act of our sharing in the words Jesus hears from heaven, "You are my beloved child, in you I am well pleased." When we remember our baptism, we are remembering God loves us and has first chosen us. Secondly, so first, God acts first. Secondly, we align our expectations of a spiritual life with the life of Jesus Christ when we are baptized and when we remember our baptism. Normally, when I have expectations about something, say, about the boar's head, I have a sense of predictable outcomes. I try to align my expectations with potential problems while maintaining confidence in boar's head festivals of the past. And in doing so, problems and difficulties happen in a secure, safe, and expected realm. My expectations are met when nothing happens which does not defy those expectations. But when we're talking about aligning our spiritual lives with the life of Jesus Christ, we're seeking to align our expectations, our hopes, and our dreams with a mystery. We are giving ourselves over to the unknown. We go with a certain confidence which defies security and safety, because that confidence is in what Isaiah tells us today and what Christmas is all about, that God is with us. But if we know our scripture even a little bit, we know very well that the alignment of our lives with God in Christ is not a call to safety and security. Rather, it's like stepping out into the darkness blindfolded. But we do have expectations of God's kingdom. We have an expectation that the light of God's kingdom will make itself known to us in our lives together, in our service to others, and in the love we share with the world. We have an expectation that Christ will be present with us wherever we gather together in His name and when we share in the bread and the wine of communion. We have an expectation that the Holy Spirit will be active in our lives and in the fruits of the Spirit we have been given. All this is true. What we cannot know, however, is what the specific outcome will look like, only that if we've been truly aligned with our expectations of a spiritual life and we've been baptized into the life of Christ, the outcomes will begin to look like the presence of Jesus Christ as revealed to us in Scripture, in our loving interactions, and in all our relationships. In the first several centuries of the church, baptism was preceded by a long period, up to 3 years, of catechism, teaching of the faith. As a catechumenate or a new Christian, you would have a mentor who would pray with you and would bring you to worship services, read scripture with you. Then the new Christian would gather with other catechumens, and they would study and pray and learn about the faith together. Then, on Easter Eve, the group of new Christians would gather together before midnight. A couple hours before midnight, they would pray together in an isolated area of the church in the back, away from the sanctuary. Then, just before midnight, they would be asked to take off their clothes, and they would be led down a long, dark hallway. At the end of the hallway was a large tub filled with cold water. Naked and in darkness, but in view of the members of the sanctuary, because back then, before communion, all the unbaptized would be let out of the church, and then communion would take place only for the baptized. So, in the darkness, naked, and in view of the others in the sanctuary, the new Christian would have the words of baptism spoken over them. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They would be completely submerged, and then brought up out of the water and dressed all in white. The newly baptized Christian would step out into a brightly lit sanctuary a few minutes after midnight, early on Easter morning. The gathered assembly would welcome them, and all the church would share communion together for the first time with the newly baptized. They would become participants with the family of Christ and participants in the mystery of God. So first we have that we are God moves first in our baptism. Secondly, we remember that we are aligning ourselves to Christ in our baptism. Thirdly, in remembering our baptism, we remember that we are, by the nation of God and God's people, participants in the family of Jesus Christ. So we are chosen, we are aligning ourselves, and we are participants. We participate in that communion of saints to which we testify whenever we say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, and the communion of saints. This, our participation in the baptized community of Jesus Christ, is what the communion of saints refers to. You all, us, together. This means baptism is a communal act, something that's always done in the context of the gathered body of the church. In our individual baptism, we share what Christ has done in his baptism all those many years ago, and we also share it with one another. This is why remembering your baptism is not necessarily dependent on your conscious recollection of your personal baptism. The memory is carried by the community for you. By participating in the life of the baptized, you are remembering your baptism. Participation is remembering. Remembering is participation. And we participate in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in our baptism. Luther used to speak of our daily rising and dying in Christ. By this he meant what Paul meant in Romans 6, where Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life." In participating in Christ's death and resurrection, we participate directly in the divine relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are incorporated into the Trinity, the dance of creation, redemption, resurrection, and salvation, which are the expression of the love of the Trinitarian God, is expanded to include each of us in that dance, or perichoresis in the Latin phrase, or actually Greek word, which is what the early church used to call it, the perichoresis of the Trinity, the sacred dance of the Trinity. In many liturgically focused churches, Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian, some Methodist churches, there is a baptismal font at the entrance of the sanctuary or meeting house. And this is so with each entrance and exit of the worship space, a person can remember their baptism and remember they have been baptized by touching the water and then drawing the cross on their forehead. In doing so, the gathered community of Christ can remember who they are, and whose they are. So fourthly, first, God chooses us. Second, we align ourselves. Third, we are participants with the church and with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, baptism is all about our identity, who we say we are. Who are we then in our baptized lives together? The Gospel of Luke told us today, we are children of the beloved God. We are the beloved children of God. And with us, God is well pleased. Today it reads, you are my child, the beloved. In you I am well pleased. We have a hard time, I think, hearing that these words are about us. But remember our series on the Holy Spirit when the reason we spoke about the fruit of the Holy Spirit is to more deeply understand those things we share with Jesus. Because Christ was baptized, we are baptized. Therefore, because Christ heard the words, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased, we therefore also hear the words, you are a beloved child of God in whom the Lord is well pleased, when the waters of baptism touch your head. Did you realize, did you know these words said to Christ were also meant for you? So, repeat after me, I am a beloved child of God, in whom the Lord is well pleased. So say it all together. I am a beloved child of God in whom the Lord is well pleased. These are the words of baptism. If the phrase remember your baptism is confusing to you, then say the words of baptism themselves to yourself. Repeat again after me. I have been baptized in the name of the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who are you? What is our identity as Christians? We are the beloved children of God, a God who is pleased in our participation in the work, the blessing, and the relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the sake of Jesus Christ and the whole world. My definition of baptism was, baptism is an act of God which invites us through the example of Jesus Christ to align our expectations of our spiritual life with the participation of Christ's earthly church in the divine mystery of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. By water and word, God welcomes us into and makes us responsible to the family of Jesus Christ. I don't expect you to remember all that. What I do hope is that on this day, when we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, that you remember your baptism and you remember you were baptized. God has claimed you, and baptism is the sign of that claim God has made upon you. For Martin Luther, it was a lifeline in times of trouble. When the waters of life overwhelmed him, he remembered his baptism. He remembered the water he had put upon him was, by the mystery of the eternity of God, the same water which was part of Jesus' baptism. He remembered his baptism was first an act of God towards him. He remembered that his baptism was the alignment of his spiritual life with that of Jesus Christ. He remembered he was a participant in the great history of the communion of saints of the Christian faith. He remembered who he was. He remembered he was a beloved child of God who participates in the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit with a group of people who have gathered together to do the same. May each of us remember this also, that we have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, so we might participate joyfully and completely in the great mystery of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.